Praise the Lord. What a joy to be able to have a God you can trust. Amen. He's always trustworthy. Today I want to talk to you about who will be the king of 2021. A lot of times in our lives we allow other things to take the throne in our life, call the shots, be the biggest impact of our life. Certainly we know the church answer that Jesus needs to be that king. But Jesus is not just the church answer. Amen? He is the answer for life. I got tickled last Sunday, if you remember. If you were here, I preached a sermon. In the midst of that sermon, talked about Christmas gifts. And one of the Christmas gifts I had searched around the house for to see if my dad had bought for me was an electric football game. And I mentioned to the camera, in case Dad were watching, sorry, Dad, but thank you. Well, I didn't even get home. My phone rang, and Dad said, yeah, I was listening. But in the midst of that conversation, he said, listen, I got to tell you. Now, Dad's 85 years old. Now, we might say he's a retired pastor, but once you're a preacher, you never quit preaching. He said, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was preaching. And I was preaching about the king, and he began to weep, and he began to share with me verses, and I began to think about verses. And while he was talking, I'd gotten home and parked and gotten into the house, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on. I said, keep going on, I'm typing. I'd jumped down at my computer, and I was typing things I was thinking while he was talking and writing. And so I said, well, keep talking, I think that's next Sunday's sermon. And so this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart through my dad and through me in what materialized through the week as a result. Several hundred years before Jesus came, there was a king named Uzziah. And he was one of those kings that when the Bible writes about him and says he became king, it says he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And he was king for over 50 years. Wouldn't it be great to have a president for over 50 years that was a good one? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But you can imagine having had a king that did right in the eyes of the Lord and had been king for over 50 years, that when he died, people would naturally be thinking, what in the world is going to happen next? And Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, when everybody would be saying, you know, who's going to sit on the throne and who's going to reign, what's going to happen next, he said, I saw the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. And as he saw that great vision, it had such an impact on his life. And he said in verse 5 of chapter 6, he said, then I said, woe is me, for I'm ruined, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Say, why did he say that? Because they recognized in seeing this God, which the seraphim said, holy, holy, holy. He realized we are so unholy. Interestingly enough, when you read the book of Isaiah, it starts in the first chapter, and it says the vision that Isaiah saw during these kings. Then in chapter 2, what Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. But when Isaiah saw the king, the eternal king, it forever changed his perspective in life. We have gone through many, many presidents, and we've seen many, many things in life. And this last year, we've seen some unusual things in our life. But we need to see the king who's always been on the throne. And when we see him, it forever changes our perspective. Isaiah said, mine eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. I want to encourage you to make that your quest for 2021. to see the King. Reminds us of the wise men. We've just gone through our Christmas season. We've heard the Christmas story over and over. The wise men, what did they say in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2? Where is he? Make that your quest for 2021. Where is he? I want to see the King. They wanted to see the one who had been born King of the Jews. They had seen his star in the east, and they had come to worship him. And it says in Matthew 2, 10 through 11, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. There was that anticipation, having seen the star again, finding the place, this anticipation of seeing the King. And so it says, they came into the house and saw the King, the child with Mary his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. You and I need to realize we cannot complete our journey in life without seeing the King, falling down, and doing homage to him with our life. He is the King of 2021. You know that story of Jesus coming, we read about in Matthew and Luke when we think about the birth narratives. Luke tells a story about a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. He was somebody who is anticipating the fact the prophets had promised a Messiah coming. And so he still had that hope and that faith that the Messiah was coming. And interestingly enough, here where it says he was looking for the consolation of Israel, the Greek word here is the word from which we get the word paraclete. Many of us who've studied understand that being the word for the Holy Spirit, the one who is our comforter, one who gives us strength and sustains us in life. And he was looking for this fulfillment in Israel of the Messiah coming. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it says in verse 26 that it had been revealed to Simeon that he would not physically die until his eyes had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And so, as Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to be dedicated to the Lord, the Bible says that Simeon saw him. And it says in Luke 2, 29 through 32, that Simeon blessed God and he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. Listen, when we get a glimpse of who Jesus is and we have that wonderful vision, we see with the eyes of our heart, like Paul talks to the Ephesians about, that it changes our life and satisfies our life, as he says, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We need to make it our quest to see Jesus in 2021. A lot of us are hoping we don't see COVID during 2021, but we need to make it our quest to see Jesus in 2021. Well, when Jesus began his ministry, it says in Matthew 4, 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First of all, notice the word kingdom. You cannot be a king if you don't have a kingdom. And Jesus is the King of this kingdom. But he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, if that was an urgent message 2,000 years ago, how urgent is it today that we repent and recognize the kingdom of God? And so Jesus began to preach this, and he began to tell so many parables about his kingdom. That's where our focus needs to be for 2021, the kingdom of God. That way, whether we live physically or die physically, we're good because we're part of God's kingdom. As a matter of fact, even after the death, burial, and resurrection, we find as Jesus comes back from the dead that he appears to the apostles and many over a period of 40 days. And it says that he did that speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. What's going on in our lives today? Are we thinking about the things of the kingdom of God? This king who is still reigning, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, toward the end of his life, as Jesus had been brought to Pilate, it says in Luke 23:3, Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him and said, "It is as you say." But he clarified in John 18:36, the same time before, at the end of his life, before Pilate, he said, "But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." One of the things that you and I have such a great joy about is understanding that all the things that are going on this planet, in our nation, in our personal lives, you and I have another kingdom of which we're a part, this spiritual kingdom of God. Jesus is that king. He reigns on the throne of that kingdom, always has, and he reigns over the throne of our hearts. So regardless of what's happening in the physical realm, this spiritual realm in which we're a part because of the blood of Christ, Jesus is king and he reigns supreme. His kingdom is not of this world, but indeed, he is our king. Interestingly enough, later there in the Gospel of John, as Pilate presents Jesus to the Jews, he says in John 19, verse 14 and 15, "Behold your king." They therefore cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." What are we saying today? Well, we know not to say we want to crucify Jesus. But have we shoved Jesus to the side and focused more on the earthly realm, earthly rulers, earthly authorities, earthly circumstances, and having shoved Jesus to the side, we're looking to the powers that be on earth to bring about peace? Folks, there is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. But you know, God's people haven't changed a whole lot, have we? It's a shame. God's people in the New Testament, the Jews, over and over and over rejected Jesus. You go back hundreds of years before then, before Israel ever had a king, there was Samuel. And Samuel prayed for those folks, and he instructed them in the good and right way. But the people decided, we want a king like everybody else. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Samuel 8:7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." Now, I don't think there's any question about the fact that the United States of America as a whole has rejected Jesus as their king. But the question is, what about the church today? Have we rejected Jesus as king? Are we looking to other authorities and other powers and other resources to satisfy our life and to fix our realm? Or is Jesus still king? Do we still trust him? Is it still sweet to trust in Jesus because he's trustworthy? Or are we looking elsewhere? Not much had changed after the death, burial, and resurrection, pouring out of the Spirit in Acts chapter 17, verse 6 and 7. The Jews had dragged these men to the authorities, and they were shouting to the authorities, "These men who have upset the world have come here also. Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar." How? How are they acting contrary to the government? they were saying, there is another king. What are we saying these days? What are we saying? Are we saying things about our circumstances in life that show that truth be known, we're not trusting in God? Or are we saying there is another king than what the world is trusting in? And his name is Jesus. And you can trust him. He's king. He's reigning. He'll bless your life. What are we saying? This is the passage that in the King James Version, it says, these men who have turned the world upside down. Listen, our nation needs to be turned upside down. Amen. How can we get our nation turned upside down to where we can get it back right to where it needs to be? By letting our nation know there's another king other than this government. There is another king other than all of our American way of life. There is another king other than money. There is another king other than all my selfish desires. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he'll satisfy your life. How are we going to turn the world upside down? Jesus is the only answer. And listen, I promise you, and you know this, but let's think about the fact that the Bible says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay, these men were going contrary to the government by saying there's another king. What are we saying? What are we saying to our world? Well, it is what it is. You ever heard that before? You know, not long ago, couple years, I can't remember. I never heard it is what it is, and all of a sudden this little phrase has taken off like wildfire. Did one of you start that? Who started that? It is what it is. Well, listen, I just want you to know, please know this, that when you say it is what it is, that cannot possibly proclaim faith. It can't possibly proclaim Christ. It can't possibly proclaim the gospel. It is what it is. That doesn't say anything. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Wouldn't it be awesome if just one Bible verse would take off like wildfire, like it is what it is? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be amazing that instead of hearing it is what it is 5,000 times a week, we would hear it is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am foremost. Wouldn't it be amazing if that were said thousands of times a week? Yeah, but sometimes, preacher, it is what it is. Well, what is it? See, the world doesn't know what it is. The world doesn't know that we are in the shape we're in because of our rebellion against God. The world doesn't know that there is hope in Christ when we hear it is what it is. They need to hear something from the redeemed of the Lord. How did they turn the world upside down? Not with it is what it is, but with Jesus, this other king. So we might ask the question, is Jesus just another king? Is he just another king? No, he's not. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, he said, he is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. Look at that phrase with me, with you. Alone possesses immortality. You know, since the beginning of time, man's been looking for the fountain of youth, wants to live forever. And so immortality. Right now, with all this happening with the COVID scares and other things that continue to be a physical explanation as to why men die, there's a lot of fear of death. There's a lot of desire for immortality. Who possesses immortality? Only one person. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, alone possesses immortality. Well, you think he'll share some with me? Yes! We don't get to, he alone possesses immortality. Oh, well, it is what it is. Are you with me? No, he shares it with us. How does he share this immortality with us? Well, he's God and he just kind of sprinkles it out to whoever might get a hold to it. No, he came from his throne in glory and he paid the debt for my sin. You know, every now and then we hear about presidents pardoning somebody, and I'm not getting into whatever's happened with our president in recent days. Matter of fact, all throughout history, there's always going to be presidents who have pardoned somebody and somebody questioning whether they should have pardoned that person or not. But I'm going to tell you something, that every presidential pardon that has ever been given never happened because the president decided to complete or pay that person's debt, to serve out that person's sentence. No, they just gave the pardon. You know, God didn't give the pardon like that. He paid my debt. He served out my sentence. My debt was death, and he came and paid it. How many presidential pardons would have actually happened if the president had to finish that person's sentence? None. We got a great God, amen. He alone possesses immortality, and in his grace, he shares it with a wretch like me. But this is our God. We see it in the last book of the Bible, Revelation Chapter 19, several verses there. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. He's on the throne reigning, and I love that little phrase, our God. He's my God. Is he your God? Is he your king? Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called faithful and true. The reason it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, because he's trustworthy. He's true. Verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You take all the kings that have ever existed, ever will exist, all the lords who have ever existed, ever will exist. He is the king of all those kings. He's the Lord of all those lords. Well, he always has been. It says Psalm 29:10, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Y'all remember when the flood was? You know, when you take a little less than 1,200 chapters in the Bible, and you realize that all the way back to just the 7th chapter in the Bible, we have the flood. Genesis chapter 7. He sat as king at the flood. He was already king then. He's always been king. He sits as king forever. And so that includes 2021. Would you agree? So as we begin this new year, he sat as king at the flood. He sits as king forever. He's sitting as king right now, 2021. So I want to encourage you this new year, make it your quest. I got to see the king. I need to see the king. Lord, let me see you. And I'm not talking about with these eyes. Yeah, we'd love to see him with these eyes. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the eyes of our heart need to see the king. And we need to see the king and understand that our quest is to see the king and to fall down at his feet. And so as you and I are thinking about that, what are we going to be saying to the world? We're going to be saying, well, it is what it is. Not. We're going to be saying, there's another king. And his name is Jesus. He's always been on the throne, always will be on the throne. And you can trust him, no matter what's going on in your life. So many times we finish a conversation with somebody about something that's going on and we finish with, it is what it is. Don't you be a Christian and finish with that. You be a Christian and finish with focusing on the King. He's reigning on his throne. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when the book of Revelation is talking about the enemy and the forces of evil, it says in Revelation chapter 17, verse 13 and 14, these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Isn't that a good word? I like this because it's like you're reading and it's like, well, there's going to be a war. And what's going to happen? Oh, the next phrase tells us the answer. Boom. We already know. The Lamb will overcome them. That's a good word, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I thought I might have COVID. Y'all been through that. We're trying to figure out, am I sick? Do I have it? You know, can I taste? You know. And listen, we'd had a staff meeting. And a couple hours before the staff meeting, I didn't feel just right. But by the time we had the staff meeting, I was feeling better. I had tried to heat up a room. It was back when the weather was real cold. And I tried to heat up a room that we kind of spread out in. And I'd had the heat on for a couple hours. It's still 64 degrees. I thought, that might be a little cold, so let's meet in my office. And so we met in my office for 2 hours, no masks. Now, some of you are okay with that. Some of you are not. I'm sorry, but that's just what we did. Well, later that night, I got sick, and I thought, oh, goodness, I got my staff sick. I did get tested the next morning because I had a funeral that next day. I had a funeral on Friday and preaching on Sunday, and tested negative. Don't know if you can trust a test or not, but it did say negative, and I felt better. So after all that, I had my dad on the phone, and Dad and I like to tell stories. And so, oh, let me tell you a story. And so I started at the beginning. And before I could really get a third of the way through the story, I could hear my dad groaning because he was thinking, oh, he's going to tell me he's got COVID. I said, Dad, unclench your intestines. It has a good ending. And so I went ahead and told him the story and said I tested negative. One of the great things about this verse is it says they're going to wage war. Folks, this is war. This is not a little physical skirmish somewhere. War in the spiritual realm against the Lamb. But the Lamb will overcome them. Why will the Lamb win? Well, because he's probably just going to get an accidental lucky blow. No. He's going to win because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why are only a few chosen? Because only a few exercise true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are faithful to him. Jesus is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, but not every man trust him. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become children of God, those who are with him. Are you with him? Do you plan on being with him during 2021? Well, I plan on it. Were you with him during 2020? Well, I was distracted. Every year will present more than enough distractions to keep us from focusing on the Lord unless we decide my quest in 2021. I want to see the King. I have come to worship him. And in the meantime, before I see him face to face, I'm going to be saying there is another King. But he's coming, amen. Well, those who were looking for the Messiah, the scripture says when it's talking about what we call the triumphal entry. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It says in verse 8 and 9, most of the multitude spread their garments in the road. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's like, okay, Lord, as we begin 2021, let us do what it takes to show that we are preparing the way for you to enter our life be our Messiah, be our Christ, be our King for 2021. These folks didn't have a lot. They took the clothes, their coats, put it down so that the donkey upon which Jesus rode could go across it. It was their way of laying out the red carpet for the Lord to enter their life. How are we preparing for our King? Well, when you think about the end, 1 Corinthians 15, 24, 25 says, then comes the end when Jesus delivers up the kingdom. He's already the King. He's already King over that kingdom. He'll deliver it up to God and Father. When he has abolished all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. These will wage war against the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome him because he is Lord of all lords, King of all kings. So we'll just finish with the last two verses in the Bible, Revelation 22, 20 through 21. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. And what do we say? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now let me encourage you. There are many times when this verse rings in my mind, or when I think about the fact that he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you in a minute. Like, come on, Lord Jesus. A lot of times that, come on, Lord Jesus, is like, get me out of this mess. And a lot of times we feel that way. This world is a horrible place to live. It's a world of spiritual darkness. It's a world of all kinds of problems. Lord, get us out of here. But the heart of the believer overflowing with the presence of Christ says, amen, come, Lord Jesus, because I want with every aspect of my being at that point, which will be a new body, I want with every aspect of my being to fall on my face and worship you and praise you and see you. So come on, I can't wait. That's what Paul was saying when he said, you know, I'd really rather be absent from here and go be with the Lord, but it's probably better for your sake if I stay. So he leaves us here so that we might have an impact for the sake of his kingdom. But he who says, I'm coming quickly, we say to you, Lord Jesus, come on. We want to see you face to face, the one who has been so faithful and so trustworthy to us. We want to see you. But until then, we're going to tell the world what it is. Next time somebody says it is what it is, and that's fine, somebody's going to say it this week. It is what it is. And you can say, hey, yeah, but let me tell you what it is. It is under the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus. He came into this world to save sinners. And he saved me. And he'll save you too. You think about everything that's going on in our world. There's still people over and over and over and over trying to find fulfillment in life with the things of the world. Not going to happen. But there is one who will satisfy us, and his name is Jesus. I want you to bow your head with me, if you would, and as you pray, I want you to, first of all, however the Lord would give it to you, visualize Jesus, your heavenly Father, on the eternal throne. And as you focus there, you just say in your heart, Lord, would you be the King of my life in 2021, certainly the rest of our life? And would you say to him, Lord, with all the other things that are distraction, let it be that I still find fulfillment and satisfaction in you, and that as I enjoy that peace, let me share that with others. Thank you, Lord, that in your kind mercy and grace, you left your throne in the eternities to come and finish our sentence of death so that you could pardon us. Thank you. Lord, in the midst of fearful times, indeed, may your love just overwhelm us such that there is no fear. For you're our King. You always have been. You always will be. You'll never be defeated because you're King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And your blood is more than sufficient to cleanse and change and use the likes of us. Lord, there's so many around us. They're caught up in a life that is doomed to defeat. Help us to have victory, that we might share that victory in you with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.